You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Bismillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you, the mercy of Allah and His blessings. On the 17th day of Muharram 1442, corresponding to Sunday the 6th of September 2020. The Zakat Nisab is 9,460 rands. The Mahar of Fatimi is 23,652 rands. And the minimum Mahar is 473 rands. Well, a very warm welcome to the esteemed listeners listening to us locally, nationally, as well as internationally. And for the Q&A program, we indeed are indebted to Mufti Sahib, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Sahib, Hafizahullah, for joining us on the program. Mufti Sahib, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Hafiz Wadi, Jazakallahu khairan.
Hazrat Mufti Sahib, our very first question for today, and I'm sure it's many people have a similar question, especially from the month of March or from the time we've been in the month of Shaban. Many people have been unemployed for many months. Some of them or many of them have been unsuccessful in interviews, and many are feeling very anxious and very stressed and are requesting du'as or perhaps some prescription that Mufti Sahib has from the Quran.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, the micro and the macro. We see South Africa, the micro, and we see the macro, the world situation. In most countries, the unemployment rate is increasing. People are getting retrenched. People are getting fired. Allah forbid, Allah protect us. So what should we do? So write down all these prescriptions. Oh, inshallah, when you listen to the podcast, you memorize it. And in that way there, you must practice on this daily. And when I say must, I don't mean it's compulsory in the meaning of farz, but must in the meaning that if you really want your doors to open, then you should practice on it regularly, punctually. Number one, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informs us in Surah 7, verse 180, chapter 7, verse 180, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has wonderful, beautiful names. Invoke and call Almighty Allah Jalla Wala by His beautiful names. Just take these three names and see, Ya Wahhabu, Ya Wahhab. Anytime you ask Almighty Allah sincerely, you cry to Allah and remember you beg Allah, Allah will open up the means, Allah will give you. Ya Wahhabu, Ya Allah, you are the best of givers, Ya Allah. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam reconstructed the Masjid al-Aqsa and after that made dua, three different duas. I'll just mention one. And he mentioned Surah 38 and verse number 35. Rabbi habli mulkan la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di. Oh, my beloved Allah, grant me such a magnificent kingdom. You will not grant anybody such a kingdom like that after me, after my demise. Innaka antal wahhab. Verily, Ya Allah, surely, Ya Allah, you are the best of givers. So see the lesson there. So read Ya Wahhabu, and if you want details of it, open Sunan Nasai. Fa'a'tahu iyyah, Almighty Allah granted him that magnificent kingdom. So every day read the 99 beautiful names of Almighty Allah, Ya Wahhabu, Ya Wahhab. Then there are obstacles, challenges, impediments in life. Read Ya Fattahu, Ya Fattahu, Ya Fattah. Ya Allah, you open the doors for me, open the locks for me, remove the impediments and obstacles for me, Ya Allah. And Allah is that Zat, is that Supreme Being. Everything is in His control. And then number three is Ya Basitu, Ya Basitu, Ya Basitu. Ya Allah, I'm taking loan from here. Ya Allah, I'm missing a meal. meal. Ya Allah, my children are suffering. So you speak to Allah and Ya Allah, increase our rizq, Ya Allah. So that is the first prescription. Daily, inshallah, you will read the 99 beautiful names of Almighty Allah. Second prescription, we must be punctual and regular with our 5 daily salat. This is indeed very strange. The Ummah today complains that we can't find job, we can't do this. But when you find a job, then the person doesn't need salat. He misses even Jummah Salat, Allah forbid sometimes, or other Salat, Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib and so forth. So Almighty Allah teaches us in chapter 20, Surah Taha, and verse number 132, وَأَمُرْ أَهَلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا. Ya Rasul Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, command your family. Family, your wife, your children. So that is Ahlul Bayt. So command your honorable wives, your honorable children, your grandchildren. They must perform their salat and you must be constant in it. La nas'aluka rizqa. We will never ask you for sustenance and provision. Nahnu narzukuk. We will give you the prescription. We will give you the sustenance, the provision, everything. We will give you. So it shows that when our salat is up to date, Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala will open up so many doors for us. So that is number 2. Number 3, dua. Dua is the weapon of the believer, and always ask Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala to open the doors for us. So Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam leaves Egypt. He enters Madian. When he comes there, he's a total foreigner, stranger. Like how when we went to China and Russia, we don't know a single person. But we read the dua of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam, chapter 28 and verse 24. And which dua does he read? Yesterday I went to Heidelberg, so my hometown where I was born. So myself, my wife, when we just enter, we read the same dua. We know the people, everything. But remember that when you enter a place, read the dua. A Nabi's dua, always powerful, potent dua. So what does he say? Rabbi inni liman zalta ilayya min khairin faqir. Ya Allah, whatever goodness there is, you are sending down. Ya Allah, we are in need of it. I'm in need of it. Chapter 28, verse 24. Rabbi inni liman zalta ilayya min khairin faqir. And then you want the real barakah, real barakah. Now I'm sharing a secret of mine with you. You must remember, now everybody cannot practice on it. I understand that, you know, we have free time so for many times. So remember that you know that between 11, half past 11, before Istiwa Ushams, before the sun reaches its zenith, so read 2 and 2 rakats, 4 rakats. And remember Imam Malik rahimahullah has mentioned this hadith in Muwatta Imam Malik. And when you read that 4 rakat salat, you will receive the reward ka qiyami laylatil qadri. So just 11, half past 11, quarter to 12, depending what time, what you call zawal, istiwa is the proper term. Anyway, so when the sun is at the zenith, so before that you read the 4 rakats, and then you read, Ya Wahhabu, Ya Fattahu, Ya Basitu, see from where and where Allah will give you rizq. Remember that. Without working much for it, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Surah 65, verses 2, 3, 4, read all that and see. Almighty Allah states, inculcate the quality of taqwa and true piety within you. Yet then, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah will make a way out for you, even in difficult situations. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. He, Allah, says, I will give you rizq and sustenance from such avenues and such places you never ever anticipated and expected. You do that in trying circumstances. This is loved by Allah. That you are really struggling for the 1 rand, you are really struggling for the 5, 10, 100 rand, but daily take out that 1 rand, 2 rand. Ya Allah, your promise, you said, if I spend for your love, you will give me more. وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَوَ يُخْلِفُ. When you spend shay'in is 1 cent, so your 1 cent, the beggar will throw it away. Take 1 rand, 50 cent, 1, 2 rand, give. For who are يُخْلِفُ? Allah Jalla Wala will give you something. something much better. So do that, my brothers. Insha'Allah, Allah will open up so many avenues and place our trust solely in Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
Allah khairan for that, Mufti Sahib. Mufti Sahib, kindly advise, how does one respond to the Iqamah?
Remember that today, mashallah, that I went to Hazrat Mufti Riza al-Haq Sahib, our Honorable Ustad Majlis, and then Hazrat told me to speak, and I spoke about Adhan and so forth. So you must remember, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا أَذَّنَ الْمُؤَذِّنِ فَقُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُ الْمُؤَذِّنِ ثُمَّ صَلُّوا عَلَيَّ. That when the Adhan is rendered, then you repeat the same words of the Muazzin, and thereafter you read Salawat, Durood Sharif, salutations upon me. The hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. Remember there you will say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Similarly, Iqamat also you say that. And remember that is mentioned that when the Mukabbir says Qad qamati salah, qad qamati salah, you say Aqamaha Allahu adamaha. So that also is mustahab and good to say that. So that is how you should. And yeah, let me just clarify one masla also, because I see sometimes even muazzins and sometimes ulama also make this mistake. Remember, we the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah say that when you render the adhan, even in the mic, so then you make iltifat ila al-yameen wa shimal. You turn your head. You don't have to turn your chest and your feet. Just your head, you turn it slightly to the right. Hayya ala swala, hayya ala swala. And you turn to the left. Hayya ala al-fala, hayya ala al-fala. So remember, this is sunnah in adhan and in iqama. And if you want an academic discussion, open fatawa Darul Zakaria of our Honorable Ustad Hazrat Mufti Riza al-Haq Sahib, you will find it there. So after the adhan is finished, then remember you read Durood Sharif, you read Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, you read Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rasulahu wa nabiyya, you read Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wati tamma tal'in habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for us on the day of justice. So learn all these things and teach it to our students, to our children, grandchildren. Insha'Allah, this adhan, Allah will make it such that every city of the world, the adhan will be given in a mic. That is the kudrat and the power and majesty and authority, sovereignty of Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, Insha'Allah.
Is it permissible to wear sterling silver?
Remember for men to wear silver chains or gold chains or all these type of things, not permissible. The only thing that is permissible for a man, for the man, is to wear a silver ring. And that also there's a condition. It must not exceed 4.85 grams, you must remember, of silver. And if you want the reference and hadith, go open Tirmidhi Sharif. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ittakhidhu min wariqin, and it must not exceed one mithqal, meaning that 4.85 grams of silver and so forth. Secondly, for the women, remember that is artificial jewelry goes, that you know, you women, you like, you understand, imitation jewelry and all these things, so all that is permissible. So real jewelry, genuine jewelry, imitation jewelry, all that permissible. However, for the ring and so forth, for the ladies, so there the Hanafi ulama say it must be a gold ring or silver ring, meaning the major component for females in that ring must be gold, that majority component, or silver, that is fine. It must not be imitation rings. That's Hanafi verdict. Shafi and them all, that is flexible. Even in the men, remember, is much more flexible than the Hanafis, according to the Shafis. But obviously, gold ring for men, that is haram and not permissible.
This question has come in respect of the decoders. Are they still on a special price? Where are they available? And also pertaining to Mufti Saab's Nasiha.
Okay, this is a two-part question. Alhamdulillah, what we decided is for the whole 2020, we are still now in September. We still have approximately 3.5-4 months now. So September, October, November, December, it's still 600 rand. And mashallah, stocks are available. They in Durban, next to the Ansar studio, we have the Markaz Sahaba studio. So mashallah, our brothers are there. Moana Khalid Yaqub is there. Brother Dawood Monli is there. Or you can contact Hafiz Hussein Wadi also. It's 600 rand per decoder, mashallah. So you purchase it for yourself, or you purchase for your friends and you give it to them as a gift or your family members. And there are various stations you can listen to with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah. Here where we are in Indonesia, so Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we also have stocks here. So anytime you want, so like tomorrow between 8 o'clock to 4:30, inshallah, you contact our reception, Brother Suleiman Esop, 011-854-2990, 011-854-2990, and inshallah that you bring the money and then we give it to you, inshallah. So 600 rand per decoder per radio. Second one is that yes, people want the daily nasiha, the daily podcast, and alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, hada min fadli rabbi, that daily now we have the tafsir of the noble Quran as well, and that is between 1:30 to 2 daily. You can listen to the Quran Sharif, and today mashallah was Surah Baqarah chapter 2 verses 63 to 68. So all this is the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and other programs like this Q&A, my brother Lukolo will then after the program prepare the podcast, then we send it out. So we have the Telegram. So what is the Telegram story? So you go to your phone and the Play Store, or you know the iStore or whatever you call it, Play Store, and in there that you will find an app, and it's called Telegram channel, and then you download it, you install it, and then you link up with us. You don't have my link, then just send me a message. Even now, send it to me on this number 071-888-1184. 071-888-1184 must be a WhatsApp message, and then we will send you the link inshallah and all the details. Mashallah, our brother Salahuddin family all helping us as well. Allah Jalla Wala reward them. Those of you beyond the borders of South Africa, +27 71 888 1184, and inshallah daily with Allah's help people are linking up with us, so you will get it and receive it on the Telegram inshallah.
Mufti Saab, and the decoders also available right here at the Al Ansar Books store, as well as inshallah at the IG Hussein stores from tomorrow. The decoders will also be available there, Mufti Saab.
MashaAllah, JazakAllah khair for that, Afisab. That's why we need you, Afisab. You're giving us the breaking news. So those of you in Durban, those of you in Natal area, Maritzburg, Amzindo, Port Shepstone, now and then you come into Durban, so you visit the Ansar bookstore, or you visit IG Hussein, inshallah. So they will also be selling the decoders from tomorrow at 600 rand, inshallah. Or you just ask them what's the price, and in that way, inshallah, that it is available there as well. But I will really recommend that you should have one at least, and mashallah, 600 is not such a big sum, you know, nowadays. So you buy for your friends and family, and inshallah, it is the mobile madrasa right in the comfort of your home, and inshallah, people can change their lives, and all that will be sadaqah jariyah for you, a recurring charity for you. Barakallahu feek.
And Mufti Saab, also there is no subscription fees at all. It is no monthly fees, absolutely nothing, Mufti Saab.
Gee, it's free, and you can get, you know, 4 or 5 different stations, I think, nowadays on that. So it's a good investment, mashallah. No subscription, nothing, inshallah.
Mufti Saab, moving on to the next question. Indeed, this is something in the community. It is throughout the world as well. This parent says that their son is on drugs. They absolutely fed up. They want to disinherit him. Is this permissible in Islam, Mufti Saab?
All these type of issues, before we respond, we need to come to you, O husband and wife. What happens? We get married and now the husband is now really in love with his wife, and you know, mashallah, and the wife is looking at the husband and so forth. The conjugal rites takes place. The last thing the couple think of is making dua that time before you meet. So we're going to start from there. You are a husband, you are a wife. So now every time you meet, conjugal relationships takes place. Do you know the dua? The dua is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Allahumma jannibna shaitan. Allahumma jannibna shaitan. Oh Almighty Allah, put the shaitan far away from us. وَجَنِّبِ الشَّيْطَانَ مَا رَزَقَتَنَا. Ya Allah, put the shaitan far away from what you are going to bless us with, our awlad, our offspring, our progeny. So we don't read that. And we just go through the motions, everything, some gymnastics and what have you, and then it's finished. Now when the children grow up, then they are rebellious, everything. Now see what Quran Kareem is teaching us. Almighty Allah is teaching us. وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ وَإِدْهُمْ. That when we don't read these type of du'as, you know, today on your computers and your laptops, you got your firewall and lot of other gadgets, you'll know better than me all these things, yeah. So you put certain checks and balances. So oh couple, Muslim couple, whether you married one night or one week or 10, 20, 40 years, so whenever you go husband to wife, wife to husband, read the dua. Bismillahi jannibna shaitan wa jannibi shaitan malakana. Now we don't do that. Now, what are the consequences? Listen to Quran. Quran says that when the shaitan, the iblis, was expelled from Jannah and Paradise, so Almighty Allah told him that you do whatever you want to. وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ وَإِدْهُمْ. That you, iblis, shaitan, you become a partner of theirs in their wealth. You see the interest, you see the unda danda, the upside down transactions going on. So shaitan becomes a partner in our income. One. وَالْأَوْلَادِ. The shaitan becomes a partner in our children. So how can he become a partner in our children? Because when we did not take Allah's name, so the atharat, the impact of the shaitan comes into the child. And now me and you as the parent, we are to blame. Wa'iduhum, and keep on promising them. My son will become this, my daughter will become this. Wama ya'iduhumu shaitanu illa hurura. And the promises of shaitan are nothing but deception. Chapter 17, verse 64. SubhanAllah. So stay away, protect our wealth from shaitani influence, protect ourselves, our children from the satanic influences. So now we have our children, our flowers, our children, now we embrace them, kiss them. So make dua while they're developing in their formative years. Let's give you three duas from Quran Sharif. Wa asalih li fi dhurriyati. Surah 46, verse 15. O Almighty Allah, you bring about reform, piety, goodness in my progeny, in my children. Wa asalih li fi dhurriyati. Second dua. You want your child. He must be the apple of your eye. Eh, fu'adu samaratik. In Arabic, you say that you know the apple of your eye. Easy translation. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Oh beloved Allah, grant us as spouses, grant us as progeny and children the coolness of the eyes. And then third one, when the child is sleeping, he's 10, 11. Did you read Fajr Salat today? I'm asking. Father, did you read? Mother, did you read? Did your children read? You know what is the answer. 90% didn't read. Allah is teaching us the dua of Nabi Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam. Chapter 14 verse 40. Surah 14 verse 40. O father, O mother, read this dua. Grandparents, read this supplication. Rabbi ja'alni muqima salati wa min zurriyati. Oh my Allah, make me. Rabbi ja'alni, make me. Muqima salat, that I establish the salat. I'm reading salat. Other people are reading salat. Because we taught them certain things. Wa min zurriyati, and my children. All three verses got the word zurriya. My children, my progeny. Rabbana wa taqabbal dua. Oh beloved Allah, accept the dua. So that is a Muslim parent. Now your son grows up, daughter grows up, you pass away. So he, that son, that daughter, he will gather the family and say, we have to sort everything out according to Islam. And remember that if you want, I'll walk out and now you take this, you take this, you take. That is what the son will do. That is what the daughter will do. When we gave the tarbiyah, we gave the training and coaching. Otherwise, you will sit with the question that is posed. My son is on drugs. My daughter ran away and she's pregnant and all that. Allah alone knows who the father. Allah forbid. And now I'm fed up. I'm frustrated. I want to disown them. They must not get the share. You can't do that, father. You can't do that, mother. Why? Quran is saying you can't do that. Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 13 and 14. When you have a death in the family, first is burial, funeral expenses. Second is the debts of the deceased, whether it is personal, corporate, business debts, all must be settled immediately as soon as possible. Justice delayed is justice denied. Third is wasiya, to bequeath. For none heirs, the person who you bequeath for can be a Muslim or non-Muslim. Your adopted children, your father-in-law, mother-in-law, some madrasa, masjid, some, you know, library, whatever you want to provide it, it is permissible. So one condition, none heir. Second condition, must not exceed one third of the total estate. Fourth come the shares of the heirs. That is prescribed, ordained by Almighty Allah. Read the Quran, Surah 4, verses 11, 12, 13, 14, Fariidatam min Allah. Allah says the shares of the heirs, I have already prescribed it. You cannot decide unilaterally and arbitrarily as you want who you will give and when you will give. No. And if you do things the proper way, Surah 4, verse 13, وَذَٰلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, that is your supreme success. Now this is the answer. Surah 4, chapter 4, verse 14. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, whoever disobeys Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and Habibuna Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودًا, you give someone more, you give someone less, you deprive someone from the heirs, Allah says, يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا, Allah dispatches that person to Jahannam and the hellfire for very, very long time. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, and for that person there is a humiliating, disgraceful punishment. Surah 4, chapter 4, verse 14. So what must you do, my brother? This is what you do. You call your son who is on drugs and what have you, your daughter who ran away, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. You say, see, I'm giving you one more chance in life. You don't want to listen, so so forth. So during your lifetime, you give your other heirs. You understood? You give it to them, your sons, your daughters, equally. And you give them ownership. You transfer things on their name, title deeds, everything. And no conditions must be stipulated. The giftee, the recipient, must take possession and no conditions attached. Then we say that is permissible. And remember that when you pass away, your estate will be a very small estate comparatively and relatively. From that there, then that son who is on drugs, that daughter who ran away, because they are still Muslim, they haven't left Islam, they're still your son and your daughter, then they will inherit proportionately.
Mufti Sahab, our final question before the ad break. It says, I'm a victim of domestic violence. Unfortunately, we've been for arbitration. And my husband says that no one from those institutions can do anything.
Remember that sometimes the husbands, we don't say all the time, but sometimes the husbands are the real tyrants and the oppressors and the zalims. They hitting their wives, assaulting their wives, and they know that we, the ulama, the jamiats and all our organizations, we don't have any teeth, we don't have any authority. It's just what advisory capacity, do this, do that. But if he does not want to do, what can we do? So therefore, gender violence now is considered as a major, major crime in South Africa. So you have 3-4 options, sister. Option number one, you speak to your husband when he's sober, when he's in a good mood, and tell him that, you know, you have beat me up, assaulted me, and now me, you the wife, you want talaq out of this marriage. He doesn't want to listen, tell him that you're going to the ulama and you're applying for a fasakh, annulment of marriage. Second one. Third one, you go to your lawyers, attorneys, family members, or whatever, family court, and then you apply there that you say that, you know what, that this person is ill-treating me, ill-treating my children, and so forth. Fourth one is that you go to the police station and you lay a charge of assault and wife battering and so forth. No person in Islam is allowed to assault his wife. Your wife is not the punching bag of a husband. Quran Kareem has made this very clear. Surah 4, chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse 19. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives with love, respect, and, you know, justice. She left her parental home. She left her place of her birth to spend the remainder of her life with you. Look at the sacrifice she made. So how can you treat her so badly? If someone, your son-in-law, has to treat your daughter like that, what will you do? You will want to take out your gun and shoot the person or assault the person and what. So how come we justifying? The problem today in Muslim community, society, and the world is that marriage today, the husbands think that they are the amir, the dictators. Islam did not say you are the dictator. Islam said you are the amir. Amir means all the expenses, responsibilities is in your head. So when you said nakahtuha wa qabiltuha, I'm marrying this lady, I'm accepting her, so you must provide the shelter, clothing, medication, food, everything for her, the children. So now when you can't do that, now frustration takes place, you vent your anger on her. How can all that be justified? So sister, end of the day, we always will say, first try and reconcile, read ya wadudu ya wadudu. Allah soften his heart, and all that doesn't work, or in your circumstances is not working, then you have the other options. Allah make it easy for you.
JazakAllah khairan for that, Mufti Sahib. Well, that brings us to a break, and we continue with the Q&A program after the short break.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Sahib, our very first question for this particular segment: what is the difference between talaq, khula, and fasakh?
Allah forbid, Allah forbid. You know, therefore in Arabic we have a proverb, a saying. It's not Quranic verse or a hadith and saying of Mustafa, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a saying, a proverb. Hammul banat ilal mamat. When you have daughters, then you're worried, concerned about them. When they are small, is a clean problem key. Then it's a small problem. When they grow up, is a khrut problem. Then it's a big problem. So always you will find the parents will be much more concerned about their daughters, granddaughters, compared to the sons and grandsons, because the sons, mashallah, they always try and make a way out. So what will happen? We gave our daughter, our sister, and we cry, we beg, we petition Almighty Allah, Jawriku Salamat Rakhi Allah, keep them happy, special mercy of yours, let it descend upon them. But we have to be pragmatic and realistic. Sometimes things don't work out. So remember, we will always advise that both couples, you must try your level best to make the marriage work. Just go back 30, 40, 50 years, you know. I know in my lifetime, you know, we mid-60s now. So you must remember that the mother who tell the daughter, the father who tell the daughter, with tears in their eyes, Betty, see my beloved daughter, we brought you up, your first 20, 22, 24, 25 years. Now you are growing. So you stay in that house, stay nicely, our blessing, our du'as are with you, but let your janaza also come from there. See, that they would tell her, you stay there and with your husband, and let the janaza come out when you pass away from your husband's house. Telling her what? That see, make your home, don't break your home. But you know today the infiltration of the Western society, independence, everybody wants to be economically free, independent, and do my way or catch the highway, and so many things going on. So when the marriage does not work, So then the wife tells the husband, give me talaq. So talaq means he gives divorce. So either he utters the words or either he writes it out, he, the husband, does not receive anything in exchange. Allah forbid, remember the hadith in Abu Dawood, abghadul halali ilallahi at-talaq. The most hated, detested thing which Almighty Allah sanctioned and legalized is the divorce. So it's a serious, serious thing. It must be the last resort, never the first and second option. So that's the first thing. So that you'll translate in English loosely, divorce. Second one is khula. Now if you just understand the terminology, the beauty, the glory, the style, the diction of the Quran. Surah 2 verse 187, husband and wife, when you click with one another. I'm not speaking of click now, they're in big trouble, we're not speaking of them. So we're speaking of click, your hearts, they meet one another. And you have not 1 week honeymoon, 30, 40, 50 years honeymoon. You look at your wife and you're still smiling. Your wife looks at you, you're still smiling, she's still smiling. You're hugging one another and the hearts are meeting, the thoughts are meeting. You have unity in thought and you are going in the same direction. So that is what marital life is all about. So remember what Allah says, Surah 2, verse 187. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun, that you are the garments of one another. Look at the clothing we wear. It enhances our image. It brings so much comfort to us. Winter time, we got our jersey, jas and overcoat on, and we feel nice. Summertime, like now, a beautiful day, we have our nice clothing on, and we feel safe and comfortable. So that is what marriage is supposed to do. Libas. But now things don't work out. The wife doesn't want to wear good clothes, modest clothing, don't want to read salat, and she tells you, go fly a kite and whatever you. So then you tell her, see, me, I tried everything possible to make this house work. But your intransigence, your the stubbornness and whatever else is going to break this home. She says, yeah, break it. So you tell her, fine, that you give the mahar back or you give this amount of clothing, whatever jewelry I gave you. So the husband tells his wife. So that is called khula. فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْهِمَا فِي مَفْتَدَتْ بِهِ. Surah 2 verse 229. So there's no sin when the wife gives back a compensation, the mahar, the money or the jewelry, which they mutually agree upon, amicably agreed upon. So that is khula. فَخَلَعْنَا عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ تُوَى. Make, remove your sandals, Mubarak, ya, O Nabi Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam. Khula means to remove. So you're removing the garment of marriage now. So marriage is called libas, khula is to remove. So here the wife will give a compensation, the talaq will be issued by the husband, the compensation will be discussed by both parties and they both reach an amicable agreement. So that is khula. And where the husband is having a fling of affairs, he's busy with his secretary, he's busy here and there with the street ladies, and remember he's hitting his wife and not giving her maintenance and what have you. So there the wife will tell the husband, give me talaq, husband is stubborn. Then she will go to the next option, and that is fasakh. In a Muslim country, she goes to the court. The qazi, the judge, will pass the verdict after hearing both sides' story. And he knows that now the husband is guilty on all charges. There are no mitigating circumstances. So in our countries, we don't have that. So we have a tribunal. That tribunal is called the ulama or the jamiat or whatever you want to call. But you must go to people in whom you have confidence in. So remember, they will have a court case, both parties. You can't have fasakh, only one party going. Both parties must be present. And in that way, you communicate with both parties. You tell the husband, you know what, you are guilty. And so many things have happened and you're not prepared to change. So they will use their overriding power and then annul the marriage. So in simple terms, English terms, you will say talaq is divorce. Khula is divorce with compensation. The compensation is paid by the wife to the husband. And third one is fasakh, annulment of marriage, and that is done in the court in Muslim countries or by the tribunal in non-Muslim countries. That is the summarized version of these terminologies.
Mufti Sahab, our next question. This lady wants to know, can she work in a house where they are not following or not in accordance with the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah?
You must remember that, for example, the people of Qadianis or the people of Aga Khanis or whatever and so forth and so on. So you must remember, for you to work there is not permissible, because they are creating the perception, impression that they are Muslim, and then they are going to indoctrinate you, because now Al-Insanu Abdul Ihsan, another proverb in Arabic, a normal human being will become the slave of the people. Slave meaning now figuratively, not literally. That you become the slave of the people who are paying you, or you must remember the people who are doing you favors and so forth and so on. Al-Insan Abdul Ihsan. So therefore, for you to work there, they will tell you, no, that, you know, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, he did this, he's a prophet, Allah forbid. So there are many issues. So we will say, no, you can't be working there, because they're creating the perception that they are Muslim and so forth. To work for a non-Muslim is permissible. What conditions? Remember that. You see how many millions of Muslims are working for non-Muslims. But at the same time, that if they tell you, you can't go for Salat, Jummah Salat or other Salat, or they tell you, you must sell this wine and swine, then obviously you can't work there. So for these people, yeah, with corrupted beliefs like this, for you as a Muslim ma, a Muslim lady, or a Muslim male, to work there, definitely not permissible. If somebody asks you, what is your dalil and evidence for that? So you will say, Quran Sharif itself, Surah 5, Surah Ma'idah, verse number 2. Quran Sharif has mentioned a golden rule, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, and you must cooperate and assist with one another in piety and righteousness. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, and do not cooperate in sin and transgression. So therefore, that you must speak to Allah. We have forgotten this in today's society. We want to speak to this person, speak to this person. That's fine. Do that afterwards. First, you speak to Allah. Ya Allah, you know I need this job, but this person wants to corrupt me with their corrupted beliefs. Please, Allah, I beg you, go into sajda in the darkness of the night. Allah say, ro ro kar mangna hai, manwana hai. So cry to Allah, beg Allah, petition Allah. Ya Allah, make decisions in my favor and tell me if it doesn't happen. Man taraka shay'an lillah, awadahu Allahu khayran min. When you leave something that is haram, solely only for the love and pleasure of Allah will surely definitely give you something much better than that. So that is Allah's system. But we don't want to use that. Complain by this one. Complain to asbab must be secondary. Complain to musabbibul asbab. Go to Allah first and then you go to creation. So that is what the Quran Sharif, that is what the Sunnah Mubarakah, that is what Islam is teaching.
Khairan for that, Mufti Sahab. Our next question has come in, wanting to know, what is the significance of reciting Surah Dukhan on a Thursday night?
MashaAllah, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qara surat al-dukhan laylat al-jumu'ah ghufira lahu. And you find so many ahadith regarding Surah Dukhan. If you read it, then 70,000 angels and so forth will make dua maghfirat for you. So open Tafsir ibn Kathir, go open, mashallah, the fada'il works, and you will find all these type of things there. So therefore, to read Surah Dukhan on a Thursday night, Surah Dukhan is chapter 44 of the Noble Quran, in the 25th part of the Noble Quran, and it comprises, you must remember, 59 verses. That is Surah Ad-Dukhan, chapter 44, and remember, 59 verses in the 25th. So by heart it, O Muslim. By a hearted O Muslim, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anu, oh my beloved son-in-law Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anu warda, on the night of Jumu'ah, Thursday night, after Maghrib, after Isha, then you complaining, your memory is weak, you learn, you forget. So what must you do? Read Surah Fatiha, Surah Yasin, first rakat. Second rakat, Surah Fatiha, Surah Dukhan, chapter 44. third rakat. Like how we read Zohar Salat just now, we read the four sunnat. So that's how you read it. Four rakats one way, and after the two rakats, you sit the qada ula, tashahud, at-tahiyyat, and then you stand up. Third rakat, Surah Fatiha, Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda. So you read that, remember that. And then after that, Surah Fatiha and Surah Mulk, and that is Surah Tabarak Alladhi. So once you read that, inshallah, and make dua, Allah Jalla Wala will bless you with a powerful retentive memory, the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. So how are we going to do that? We have to buy heart it. Therefore, to all the honorable Hifz teachers, sometime I get invited, yeah, there, give our students advice. So I tell them, see, you must listen to your teacher, whatever, all that, 100%. But my first advice to you, that you learn all the short surahs from Amma downwards, what duha downwards, then learn these four surahs by heart. So at least your hifz will become easy for you. So learn Surah Yasin. Did not Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, for all esteemed listeners, Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaah, esteemed listeners, Radio Al Ansar and Sirius FM, did not Habibullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, "Lawaditu annaha fi qalbi kulli insanin min ummati"? It is my heart's ardent, strong desire. Every member, everyone, male, female, adult, child, you should by heart Surah Yasin, the 83 verses. You should by heart it. So why, when are we going to do that? The hadith in Musnad al-Bazar. And remember another surah, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us. Lawadittu anna fi qalbi kulli insanin min ummati is Surah Mulk, 30 ayats. So there, listen, learn Surah Yasin by heart. Fulfill the great desire of Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam by heart and memorize Surah Mulk. And then you by heart Surah Dukhan, and you by heart Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, memorize that, then inshallah you will see what a powerful great memory Allah Jalla Wala will bless you. The hadith of Surah Yasin in Musnad al-Bazar, the hadith of Surah Mulk in Mustadrak Hakim. So everything we got the evidence for, and to learn all four surahs and read, I told you, the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. So rise up to the occasion, remember that, use our leisure time in the pleasure of Almighty Allah, and see what happens in your life, all with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah.
Mufti Sahib, was there any Sahabi named Sulaiman?
Yes, 100%. You must remember that. There's a wonderful book. You must remember today I spoke about Adhan. Come, I teach you something, O esteemed listeners. Who were the Muazzineen, the people who rendered Adhan in the time of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? One you all know, Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah al-Habashi radiallahu anhu arda, the first Muazzin in the history of Islam. And remember, African Muazzin, Minister of Finance, buried in Damascus, and I went to his grave Mubarak 3 times, and on the wall is written there, Muazzinu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi sallam waziru malihi. Second Sahabi, Abdullah bin Umm Maktum, regarding whom the ayat was revealed, Abasa wa tawalla anjaul a'ma, chapter 80. So you must remember that he was blind, but Muazzin of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi sallam, both Muazzin in Medina Munawwara and in Masjid Nabawi, both buried in the same graveyard, Babu Saghir in Damascus, Dimashq in Syria. Third Muazzin, listen to this Ummah. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to Makkah Mukarramah, 8th year of the Hijrah, and Fatih Makkah takes place, the conquest of Makkah takes place. 10,000 Sahaba assembled on that occasion. And then in the month of Zulqa'dah, after the conquest of Makkah, 30 kilos out of Makkah, there's a place called Ji'irana. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to perform Umrah from there. So there the Sahaba gave Adhan, the children were playing. So they heard the youngsters imitating the Adhan. So Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam send the Sahaba, call these youngsters. You know, when you call these children youngsters, then they don't want to take responsibility. They point, he did it, he did it. So they all pointed to him, to Abu Mahzura. Abu Mahzura's name was Auf. Oh, so anyway, remember that. So Then Nabi alayhi salam confirmed it, that you used to doing this? He said, yes. Habibuna rahmatul alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his dust mubarak, his yadeh sharifa, his honorable mubarak hand, placed it here on the nasiya, on the four locks, you know, just above the forehead, the four locks, placed the mubarak hand there of Abu Mahzura and told him, read now, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and then place it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed the mubarak hand by his hair, by his heart and so forth. So anyway, he embraces Islam. He's 16 years old. He becomes the muazzin of Masjidul Haram of Makkah Mukarramah. Till his death he was muazzin. So imagine, this is Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching the ummah that look at the children also, that we taught them how to give adhan. 16 years old, he's still just baligh basically. And he became muazzin, and he stayed the muazzin of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah. Who became the muazzin of Masjid Quba? Sa'ad al-Quraz. So four muazzin radiallahu an, these are the four muazzin. So if you go, any alim, scholar, student, you interested in Rijal and Nisa, you want to know the Rijal and the Nisa, you want to know the reporters, narrators, then one of the greatest books is written by who? Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani Rahimahullah Al-Isaba. So you must go fi tamyizi sahaba, who's a sahabi, who's not a sahabi. So if you go see, subhanallah, therefore Abdullah ibn Mubarak Rahimahullah used to say, go open the muqaddama or introduction of Sahih Muslim, lawla al-isnad laqala man sha'a ma. If you don't have chain of transmission, then anybody will say whatever he wants to. You see the Bible today, that you got John, you got Mark, you got Matthew, you got Luke. Not one of them met Jesus, peace be upon him. But we, when we say something, we give you the chain of transmission. So remember, we have 500,000 people or more whose lives, whose profiles, who've been protected, preserved, all that for humanity and posterity. So Ibn Hajar, the ulama wrote about him, Lam yulad mithlahu ba'dahu. You will never find another Ibn Hajar. Such a genius he was. Go study his Al-Isaba and you will find more than 10 Sulaiman there are among Sahaba. What a Mubarak name. Allah Jalla Wala mentioned his name in the Noble Quran. Innahu min Sulaiman wa innahu bismillahir rahmanir rahim. So remember Nabi Sulaiman, your son's name Sulaiman. You know the meaning? Protected. He's protected by divine protection. But what we went to go do, we corrupted the name Soli, Saul, and what and what. Walillahi al-asma'ul husna. Allah Jalla Wala has wonderful, beautiful names. Invoke Allah by his beautiful names. Wadharul ladhina yulhiduna fi asma'i. Leave those people who corrupt the names. People's names, Abdul Ghaffar, Abdul Sattar, we call them Gaf. Not from Masjid al-Haram, that is. You are corrupting the name of Almighty Allah, Jalla wa'ala, Suleiman, Saul, and Soli, and what. You're playing with the name of Anbiya. So brothers, call the people, you wife. Hey, Soli, come here. No Soli business. Hey, darling, come here. Oh, honey, come here. Oh, Popi, Popo, come here. Whatever name he likes, remember, is fine. But don't make all this corrupting the names like that. Not permissible.
Dua to read during pregnancy for a calm baby.
Calm baby, mashallah. So you must remember that whose duas we can give you. Ulaika alladhina hadahumullahu fabihudahu muqtadi. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala mentions 25 prophets and messengers' names in the Noble Quran. And remember, Almighty Allah says, those are the people that were selected by Allah. Allah selected them. They were not elected. You saw when you have elections what happens there. You will ask Donald Trump, he'll tell you. So, ulaika alladhina hadallahu fabihudahu muqtadi. So, you must follow in the footsteps of the messengers. So, let's go to the Anbiya alayhi salatu salam. They're teaching us du'as to read. Calm children. So, we give you beautiful, pious, great children. Nabi Ibrahim Khalilullah is old and he got two wives and none of them got children. Sayyid Sayyida Sara radiallahu anha is the old wife. Sayyida Hajra radiallahu anha is the young wife. And Surah number 37, Surah Yasin, chapter 36, Surah 37, Surah Safat. So just after Surah Yasin, now he cries, he begs, he petitions Allah, who? Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salatu salam. So Nabi Ibrahim says, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh Allah, grant me pious offspring. Second meaning, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh Allah, grant me children who are normal. There must be no abnormalities and so forth. All this meaning the richness and glory and the depth of the Arabic language. So a Nabi's dua. Allah blessed him with Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu salam from Sayyida Hajra radiallahu anha and from Sayyida Sara radiallahu anha. Allah blessed him with Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam. Ismail, the one who listens to Almighty Allah. Ishaq alayhi salam, the one who smiles. Ibrahim alayhi salam, the compassionate father. Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam in his old age. Now he's crying, begging. See, I told you, roar, Allah. Say, Mangna, cry and petition and beg Almighty Allah. Open Surah Maryam, Mary, to make you understand. That is Maryam. Sayyida Maryam radiallahu anha, chapter 19, in the starting Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam's dua is mentioned. So how does he make dua? Anni wana al-azmu minni washta'al al-ra'asu shayba. Ya Allah, my bones are gone brittle, I'm old, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, my hair is gone grayish and whiteys, have mercy on me. That he cries to Allah. Chapter 21, verse 89. Chapter 21, verse 89. رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدَوَّنْ تَخَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Oh, my beloved Allah, don't leave me alone. You are the best one to grant aid. Subhanallah. Anbiya's dua. And all this happened in their old age. So, رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدَ. Don't leave me alone, Ya Allah. You are the best one to grant the aid. Chapter 21, verse 89. Second dua of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. So, Surah 3, verse 38. Chapter 3, verse 38. So, there we'll give you the dua of a Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. You said, come children, see what he says. رَبِّ هَبَلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّي innaka sami'u du'a. Oh Allah, grant me such offspring that are tayyiba. They are pure, they are chaste, they are calm, they are good, they are everything that a parent will want. Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba innaka sami'u du'a. Oh Allah, verily you are the one who listens to the du'a. We just make du'a and after 2 minutes the du'a is accepted. So what happens then? So you start thinking that, but Allah is great. You say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Then the pious people, what dua they make? Ibadur Rahman, the true slaves and servants of Allah. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Ya Allah, that grant us such spouses and such wives or husband, depending who's making the dua, and children, that the coolness of the eyes. Then we want the best child. He must be handsome. She must be very beautiful. They must be this. But how good we are. So we say, Ya Allah, I'm full of sins, head to toe. So I cry to you. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhammin wa atubu ilay. You're complaining you don't have job. You're complaining your shop is in a downturn. You're complaining your money is finished. Allah says, chapter 71, verses 9, 10, and 11. يُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Oh, Almighty Allah will increase your wealth for you. Allah will bless you with smart, good children. Allah will give you the gardens of Jannah. We need those gardens will be the rivulets and the streams of Jannah. Read Quran, fall in love with Quran, fall in love with the Sunnah, then see what happens. So read all this, brother, sister, not calm, you will have pious, calm, good children. Remember that. These are all Quranic prescriptions.
Jazakallah khairan for that, Mufti Saab. That brings us now to the next ad break, already an hour into this afternoon's Q&A program. After the break, it's another hour that we have left. Do remember, at the end, it's going to be Mufti Saab's Nasiha. Also, a reminder, if you've been enjoying this afternoon's program and you would like to afford this opportunity to others, decoders are available at 600 rands each from the Al Ansar shop, as well as from Markaz Sahaba radio station right here in on 189 West Road, Overport, as well as from Lanesia, and from tomorrow at IG Hussein's right here in Overport as well.